Welcome, patrons, to our review of The Wolverine.
I've been trying to find you for over a year. It's an honor to meet the Wolverine.
That's not who I am anymore. For many years, I have wanted to thank you for saving my life. But I didn't send for you only to thank you, Logan. I wanted to repay you. A gift to equal the life you gave me. You have struggled long enough. I can end your eternity. Make you mortal.
So, The Wolverine, released in 2013, starring Hugh Jackman, of course, and a very large Japanese cast that I won't get into their names because I'm sure I'm going to butcher at least 100% of them.
Well, I won't do them the disservice of not naming them, so I will name them. We have Will Yun Lee, Tao Akamoto, Rita Fukushima, and my personal favourite, Hiroyuki Sanada.
I do know one name as well.
Is it Hiroyuki?
It's Funke Jansen.
Oh.
I bet you love that.
I was so angry when she rolled over in bed. I would have kicked her out like there was no tomorrow. Seriously, I thought I was done with this bitch. And she rocks up. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And as soon as I saw her once, I was like, okay, it's not going to be a one and done for her, as it should be. She's going to keep coming back. And oh, man, terrible. I can't be alone here. Like, come on. Surely you saw her and was like, oh, really?
The first thing I thought was Dean is going to go nuts. And this is directed by James Mangold. Do you know what else he did?
Yeah, Logan.
That's right, Logan. And which is the reason why we're doing this X-Men series.
It is.
Do you know who else was attached to this project prior to James Mangold?
Oh, was it the pedo, Bryan Singer?
No, he's done.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Actually, no, I don't think he's done. I'm pretty sure he did Days of Future Past, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow, okay.
No, who I'm talking about is Guillermo del Toro.
Oh, really?
He did express a very keen interest in directing this, as he was a huge fan of the Japanese saga of the Wolverine comics. But after he did a couple of meetings, he decided he didn't want to spend 2 to 3 years of his life working on this movie, so he passed.
Is that how long James Mangold spent on this?
No, that's maybe how long Guillermo del Toro would have spent on this.
Well, maybe it needed it.
They actually had Darren Aronofsky was originally set to direct as well. And he worked on the project for about 6 months before he left, citing long overseas shooting would prevent him from seeing his family.
Do you reckon they get paid for that 6 months?
Absolutely. During the time he was attached to the movie, he rewrote the screenplay that was done by Christopher McQuarrie as well. You don't know who that is? He did Mission Impossible Rogue Nation and Mission Impossible Fallout.
Nice.
Yeah. And it was speculated the real reason for his departure was the studio's unwillingness to approve his draft, which aimed for a hard R rating due to heavy sexual content and brutal violence.
Sexual content?
Yes.
Man.
Get to see more of that ripped Jackman. So according to James Mangold, this movie actually started out as a prequel to the original X-Men, but later he decided to make it a sequel to The Last Stand. He said, I wanted to tell the story without the burden of handing it off to a film that already exists and having to conform to it. The ideas of immortality reign very heavily in this story, and the burden of immortality weighs heavily on Logan. For me, that's such an interesting part of Logan's character that it's nearly impossible to explore in a prequel.
Yeah, and I think having, as much as I hate Jean Grey, I think having the Jean Grey element to it probably did help in expressing his, you know, hatred for being immortal. Like, he's gone through so much pain.
Yeah.
He's lost someone he's loved. More than that, he's killed someone he's loved.
Yes.
And he's struggling with it in a big way. And I think as shit as The Last Stand is, he can at least use that part of it to further along the Wolverine. Plus, if you have to have this as a prequel and set it up to, you know, finish around the time X-Men 1 starts, you know the Wolverine lives.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And a lot of this movie has that what's going on with him sort of element.
Yeah, exactly.
To it, so.
And you can see James Mangold really loves this immortality kind of thing because he explores that even further in Logan.
Yeah, definitely.
This film had a budget of $120 million, roughly, grossed $132 million in America, 22nd for the year, and worldwide grossed just under $415 million, so 15th for the year. So
That's good.
I think that had a lot to do with the Japanese setting. Would have made a lot of bank over there.
Why not?
So we talk about Buff Jackman a lot during this X-Men series.
Do you reckon this is his buffer so far?
Absolutely. Hugh Jackman even says that.
How huge are his veins in that one scene when he's walking past where the bomb went off? Those arm veins, I've never seen anything like it.
Well, like we stated with Logan, Hugh Jackman at that point, for all these shirtless scenes, he wanted to look as ripped and as cut as possible. So he adopted that dehydration diet where he would not consume any liquid for about 36 hours before filming his shirtless shots. He said it made him feel headachy and faint, but he was pleased with the result as dehydrating tightened everything up and gave him the exaggerated muscle definition and vascularity that he wanted to show in his shirtless scenes.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Do you know who he contacted to prepare for this role?
No.
None other than Mr. Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Nice.
And The Rock said Jackman should gain a pound a week over 6 months, so 24 pounds over 6 months, by eating 6,000 calories a day of an awful lot of chicken, steak, and brown rice. That's exactly what he did. Hugh Jackman said that with this movie, he finally achieved the physique that he always envisioned in his mind that Wolverine should have. He said that for some reason, on each of his other five takes of the character, he felt that he never had enough time to get in shape. For this movie, he finally had enough time and he got his body exactly the way he wanted it to look. It definitely shows.
Very impressive.
Absolutely. But that's not all what this movie is about, Dean. We actually have a story we need to talk about. With an average of 6.7 over 396,000 ratings. So not very well received, this film.
No, it's not. Actually, that surprised me how low that is. I thought it was better received.
Well, we're going to find out if we like it, don't we?
Yes, we are.
So let's get into it. All right, Dean. First thing I noticed.
The runtime.
Holy shit.
What are they doing?
2 hours. Did you watch the extended cut?
I don't know.
My cut was 2 hours and 18.
Yeah, that's what mine was.
Yeah, that was the Blu-ray extended cut they had. I looked, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But we do open up in Hiroshima.
Hiroshima, yes.
Yes. And you can tell pretty quickly what is going to happen here with the sirens going off, everyone freaking out about this attack. This movie was actually scheduled to be released in Japan in mid-September, more than a month after the worldwide release. This was to avoid the insensitive screenings during the early August anniversaries of the atomic attacks of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. That's when it was initially released everywhere else in the world.
Okay.
Pay some respect.
I mean, it was a while ago. No?
Hence, anniversary.
I mean, was it a special anniversary?
I don't know. I don't know what year this all happened.
All right, whatever. And we are introduced to our Japanese guy here, Yoshida.
Yes.
And he's a genuinely good guy.
Absolutely. Definitely letting out all the prisoners.
All the prisoners. Obviously, they all perished.
Yes. But it's the thought that count.
But
and I reckon it's definitely because of this that Logan helps him out when he sees him through.
Oh, for sure. There's no doubt about that. I think Logan mentions it later. I saw what you did for them, you know. Yeah.
As all the other soldiers just giving themselves the old seppuku.
I wasn't sure if you knew what that was called.
I knew what it was.
Did you look that up?
No, I did not.
I wrote down seppuku. I was like, I wonder if Hendo remembers what that is called.
I know seppuku.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Normally, though, they'll stab them in the guts and then someone else will chop their heads off.
Really?
That's a terrible way to die, just stabbing yourself in the guts.
I thought they stabbed themselves and like disembowel themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And across.
They go across and then pull out their innards.
Yeah.
And someone cuts their head off.
Interesting. What if there's two of them? They're like, you do me and then I'll do you?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll do you first. Yeah. And then we'll both die honorably. Nah, but good on him. Good on him seeing, you know, Logan down there and trying to help.
I thought that the bomb going off actually looked pretty good.
Me too. I was expecting really bad effects.
Yeah, I thought that looked really good. The one thing that didn't look good was actually Logan jumping into the well as the smoke was coming at him. I thought that didn't look particularly good.
Okay, nitpicky, but yeah, okay. Yeah,
well, that's what we're here for.
Yes. And we get the cool healing effect.
That looked good.
That was good too.
We're talking about nitpicky here. His hair comes back at the current length. All his hair gets burnt off. How does he know where to, like, his body regrows his hair? Like the next scene, he's got super long hair. Like, the explosion went then? Does he get all his massive long hair back? Where's his beard? What's going on?
Don't know.
There's my next nitpick.
I did not overthink this film.
I saw all the regrowth came back. I'm like, how does he know that he has short hair right now?
Can we just skip all this Famke Janssen?
No, shit? No. No, you will talk about this right now.
I did love the bit where he stabs her in the stomach. I had no idea how violent this movie was. I was used to X-Men 1, 2, 3 and X-Men Origins.
Especially at the funeral. When it got to that, I'm like, oh, damn.
No,
like
this scene, like, I was...
This is okay.
No, it's not when you're watching it with a 7-year-old. And
stop watching these violent movies with your kids.
These movies have not been violent. The whole thing is Wolverine has not been violent until Logan.
You're incorrect.
This was a very violent film.
good. It's good for that.
I genuinely was like, okay, Logan's the only one where we see blood, where this guy with claws is killing people. Not true.
No.
We get blood here.
Yes.
And we get fucks. We get like three or four fucks.
Yeah, you get three fucks.
I was like, Jesus.
Yeah. It's like a watered down Logan. Like Mangold, he's trying to get to that point.
Mm.
And it shows in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is good. It's a massive positive to
it was
film.
Welcome. Definitely.
But he wakes up from his dream.
Dream within a dream. Inception. What? He wakes up from this dream.
He wakes up
dreaming about the war.
Yeah.
And he's got Famke Janssen there, right? Then he wakes up from that. I was like, what the fuck?
So he wakes up from one nightmare to another nightmare. And then he wakes up to probably a nightmare life, you know, living out in the bush with his massive beard and hair.
Yeah, you can tell he's wild because he's let his hair grow.
That's right. But it does establish the timeline here that this is taking place after The Last Stand.
Yeah, I really think they missed the Revenant opportunity here, though. Wolverine versus the bear. That would have been sweet.
Wolverine would have just ended it. Done. Claws in the throat, like he does later.
In fairness, the bear is, like, incapacitated.
How good would the Revenant have been if Leo was fighting the bear and then you just see Logan come out of the bush like, Revenant is an X-Men movie.
I felt like this whole Trucky Hunter thing went on for way too long.
Didn't need to be there.
No, not at all. And like this whole thing is there to show like Wolverine's like this good guy.
We know that.
We know this.
We've seen this a lot already.
And this red-haired chick.
Yukio?
Yukio, yes. Yukio. It's never really explained how she finds him. Like, she's just there and she's like, oh, we've been looking for you for a long time. How the fuck did she find him?
He's living
in the woods. He comes out.
We seem to think that she's some sort of telepath, but the only thing she knows, the only power is she can vision people's death.
Yeah, and not very well.
No. What do you mean?
Well, Wolverine dies, but not really because he's back up.
She envisions him dying with his heart in his hand. At the end of Logan, he dies with X-22 in his hand.
Yeah, but she envisioned it in the Japanese house. She says that. I saw it. It was here.
Did she say that?
Yes, she did.
I don't think she said that.
Well, you're wrong.
Because she says that to him in the car, not in the house.
Yeah, she says to him when they're in the house, she's like, no, 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 this is how I saw it.
What?
Move on.
Nah, you're wrong.
You're wrong.
You're wrong, dickhead.
Dickhead. Okay, so he's in the car of Yukio. I didn't like this scene. In fact, I don't like Yukio at all, to be honest. I think she's a very weak character and bad actress. I did not rate this actress at all.
Does it have anything to do with maybe they're Japanese actors and they're coming over to English?
No, because some of these Japanese actors are fantastic.
Yeah, okay. I do agree there. Like, I can see your point.
Like, she's... And it's not like a male-female thing. I think the granddaughter was really good in this. Not as good as the son. He's a legend. But, like, I just... Yeah, she was really bad. And even this whole storyline of this guy who you saved the life of, he wants to thank you. And it's like, okay, where is he? It's like Tokyo. Oh, I'm not fucking going there. Like, no shit. What a ridiculous thing to say. Hey, come to Tokyo.
So what else you got doing with your life, Logan?
No, don't be ridiculous. And then she says some shit about, oh, she knows he wants an honorable death. And he's like, all right, I'll go to Tokyo, but just real quick, and then I'm coming back. What? How does that make any sense?
Yeah. I didn't think too much of that.
Oh, that annoyed me. He's like 15-hour flight there, 15-hour flight back.
Private jet, mate.
He fucking hates flying, obviously. You see him on the plane, he looks shit scared.
Yeah. I didn't think too much of it. I guess you can see it is some sort of plot convenience just to get him over to Tokyo.
Surely there was a better way.
Could have told him that Gene is alive in Tokyo. You would have turned it off, wouldn't you?
I would have. I would have said, okay, that's right, it for me. Up to enough. You to finish this hendo.
We do get a couple of flashbacks of them back in the well where Yoshida gives him the Kazuri nickname, for monster.
Mm.
And that keeps going throughout this.
Does it?
Yeah, Kazuri. Everyone calls him Kazuri in this.
Okay.
Yeah. He does mention that there's too many fucking wars. It's a little taken aback when he said that. I'm like, ooh, okay.
Hmm.
I don't know. I've heard it a lot in Logan, but I've been watching all these other films before.
Yeah.
What do you think of him getting the scrub down in the tub?
Again, totally unnecessary.
Yeah, I mean,
filler scene.
It is a rough.
Let's give Hugh Jackman a chance to show his awesome body.
It is a rough tone change. Like, it's obviously there for comedic effect, but super serious movie up until this point.
Yeah, should have lost it. Maybe this is one of the extended scenes.
Could have been. How good is this bed that Yoshida is laying in?
Oh, it's great.
Oh, it is amazing. Could you imagine that?
Oh, I wish.
It's just the bed is like prepping him up. Yeah. Obviously, just by using his mind, he's controlling it. Has to be. How else is it known to pick him up at the right time?
He just moved forward slightly.
Some sort of muscle movement, yeah. The
bed would come with him, you know.
That'd be amazing.
It would be.
Give me one of those. What do you think of his initial reaction to just deny this offer of getting mortality?
Logical.
Why?
Hey, you can die. Oh, awesome. Sign me up. Like, come on.
He mentions you will live a full life, you will grow old, and you will die, you know, of natural causes, whatever it is.
He wants to take his cool powers away. No way.
Logan doesn't seem to think they're that cool anymore.
Oh, he loves them. Should see him pull out those knives. He enjoys it.
Does it hurt? Every time.
Every time. But I love it. But we are introduced, you know, properly to Lord Shingen. Shingen.
And his daughter, Mariko.
Mariko. Yeah, now, Lord Shingen, awesome Japanese actor. I know him very well from The Last Samurai, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You know him from that?
No.
Oh, really?
I know.
What do you give The Last Samurai?
4.5.
Wow. You don't know him?
No, I don't know him.
He's fantastic.
Okay.
Anyway, he smacks around his daughter and you can see Logan just standing there like, ooh.
Yeah, he takes that little step forward like.
Mm. With his little Japanese slippers. Like, hey, back up, Logan. Oh, and then we get this whole gladiator thing, like, you know, like the scene in Gladiator where Richard Harris is like, I'm going to announce my successor tomorrow. It will not be you. That's basically what he does here.
He definitely, like, preps him. I was like,
yep. He's like, all ready to
you've
be.
Done, you've done very good with the company, yep. But you're not getting it.
He will not be the successor.
That was good.
Yeah, no. We find out that it's going to...
My powers will pass to... Mariko.
Mariko. Oh. Man, I can't wait to do Gladiator.
Mariko goes to jump off the ledge. What for? Because she got smacked around by her dad? Is she that depressed?
I mean, she looks pretty depressed. She's engaged to this guy that she doesn't love, that is betting prostitutes left, right, and center, or at least left and right, because there's two of them.
I got it.
Oh, okay. You looked at me like, what?
No, I looked at you like, really?
Yeah, really. You're just jealous.
What?
Laughing prostitutes left and right.
Okay. We get another dream sequence with Gene here, but it kind of morphs into getting the green gas.
I thought it was Rebecca Romijn. I thought it was like Mystique.
Really?
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, no, it's that random blonde nurse who suddenly is going to become one of the main villains. I was like, oh, really?
She is like the main villain throughout it.
Worst.
Viper. Yeah. Not the best here.
Oh, she's shocking.
Might I add, this big twist at the end.
Hold on. Can we just back up here? So this bit where she's on top of him and she like breathes this smoke into his mouth, that actually happened, yeah?
Yeah, that's where...
That's how the thing gets on his heart. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. It's weird that he wouldn't wake up to that. Touchy motherfucker that he is.
Yeah, especially coming up later when he has the dream with Gene with Mariko on his bed.
Oh, yeah.
And he like gets the claws out, like nearly carves her in half.
She doesn't even care. She's like, yeah.
Well, she's suicidal.
Slash me more.
It's my finish. But Yoshida is quote unquote dead.
And we're obviously meant to think that it was...
Shingen. Let's quickly talk about the twist at the end that he isn't dead.
Yeah.
It feels super tacked on in the last 10 minutes of the movie. Like, there's no real indication that this is what is happening throughout the film until those last 10 minutes.
I guess I'm just struggling to see the point of having him fake die here.
Yeah.
Other than for the audience's sake.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a reason that he would fake die here?
No.
I don't see it at all.
Is it to get Logan on some goose chase about who killed him?
Goose chase? Do you mean goose hunt?
Whatever. Who cares a shit?
Goose chase? Where do you come up with this shit?
I was 50% accurate.
50% of the time, I'm right.
I said, he doesn't go on this wild duck hunt.
I don't know. I felt like, I agree with you. I agree. The twist does feel there for the sake of it.
Yeah. And it's not even like a, holy shit, right when it happens at the end. I was like, obviously, I've seen this before. When I saw it the first time, I was like, oh, what?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so I don't understand.
Yep.
Yeah. The funeral is a very big highlight of this film.
Yeah. No, it was good.
But you got Asian Hawkeye, I guess, sitting on the roof. Did no one else know he was there? He seems to be hiding.
I thought he was, like, with the crew, but he's not.
But Logan notices him immediately.
He's not hiding. He's sitting on the roof.
But he's, like, crouching and shit, and It just seems like he's supposed to not be there. He's supposed to be incognito.
Yeah.
But Logan notices immediately, and no one else is paying attention to him.
Mm. No, it's very weird. It's very weird. This whole scene, I know you like it. The action's good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
I think the action is good. I just think the storytelling devices were a bit iffy. And it's like we see the Viper's tongue stick out.
Mm-hmm.
Out of nowhere, like
spits out some acid.
I was just like, "What?" And it cuts to something else. I was like, "Hold on, what?" It was just it caught me off guard. The chase scene through the streets I thought was better than the actual funeral stuff. I did like this with Agent Hawkeye shooting them as they're running along.
I did like how Logan's actually being affected now.
Yes.
Yeah, bleeding in pain. Yeah. Yeah. This is where we're starting to get that mortality from him.
Yeah.
Which is good. I love how this film definitely centers around him and that mortality.
Mm. Which really, you think about exactly as you said, like Logan.
Yeah.
Like, he's not healing well in Logan and he doesn't heal well in this.
Mm.
I guess it makes for a much more, you know, much more entertaining movie, a movie with stakes.
Exactly.
You know, if you've got this just immortal, self-healing hero, then it's like, yeah, he'll be fine no matter what.
And it grounds the character in Logan.
Yeah. Thanks for that.
What about on the train and on top of the train?
I remember when this movie came out, I was reading some reviews and they were all raving about this train scene.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Yeah, it's nothing. It's not special at all, but it's not horrible.
It's not bad. Yeah. I just don't think it's amazing.
I did like the fake out he gave the one guy when he went
to
jump.
That was good. Yeah. That was good. I did like that.
Did you notice the metal punch, that sound effect again?
Yeah.
I haven't heard that since the first X-Men.
That was good. Then they go to this, like, shitty hotel.
Love Hotel.
And everyone knows they're there.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
I don't get how everyone knew. It's like straight away.
Was there anything, like, was there a tracker on this bug thing on his heart?
Well, I don't think they ever say it.
No, exactly.
But maybe they should have said that at the end. Like, maybe just had a red dot beeping on it. So it's sort of like the universal sign for tracker.
Yes.
It's like, that's something. Like, it didn't make sense how they knew they were in the hotel.
More of him talking to Jean outside in the rain. Like, for fuck's sake, stop it.
Hmm.
There's too much of her in there.
Hmm.
And by too much, I mean
one scene.
Yes.
Yes. Then you get the hotel manager saving Logan for no apparent reason.
What?
He's the hotel manager and the vet friend.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Mariko, like killing the people from the top of the balcony.
No. The vet. You know how the vets always heal?
The student vet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I swear, these vet lives, they must live. Yeah. Full on. The not, shit definitely these not, vets yeah, are seeing.
Not becoming a vet because all these criminals are just going to come to these vets.
Yep. So we get Viper and Agent Hawkeye meeting. Apparently, they're on the same page.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense from where- like
out of nowhere.
Didn't it look like Agent Hawkeye was protecting Logan and
Agent
America?
Hawkeye is protecting Logan because he's in love with Mariko?
Yes. Mariko. He's in love with Mariko.
Is Mariko the daughter?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he's in love with Mariko.
So what's he doing with Viper?
Viper, who is trying to kill Logan and apparently kill Mariko, or at least kidnap her.
Is she trying to kill Logan or she's trying to get the immortality off of him? She's working with Yoshida.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to kill him.
Doesn't she already
wants to
have it?
She wants to weaken him. No, they don't already have it. Why? They don't already have it.
How do they get it? They never do get it.
They drill it out of like the adamantium
claws. Oh, that's
right.
They're drilling it out of him at the end. Yep. Okay.
Yeah, I think she's weakening him and trying to get him to that Silver Samurai.
Okay.
Very clunky.
It is.
Yeah.
But then we see good guy Logan helping the villagers.
Chopping up the tree.
Chopping a tree.
And then he gives the look to Mariko like, ooh, simple life. This is good.
Yes, I need to go live in a cabin in the woods.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I did that. Oh, I don't remember that. So he looks at this well hole. Is that the hole that he was in?
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, makes sense.
Glad I could clarify that for you.
This is where we also learn about the two hands on the samurai, which comes into play right at the end.
Which is so stupid.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that I didn't like that.
So he bangs her.
Yep.
Hold on.
Why not? Logan and Mariko, yep, in bed.
And then immediately thinks of Jean.
Oh, I've literally written, fuck off Famke Janssen every time she's here. I just don't understand why they would go back to this well.
Was that a pun?
That's good. That's good. But we get this vision of the Silver Surfer. Silver Surfer. I wish. The Silver Samurai. Where does that come from?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
He dreams of Silver Samurai. He's never seen this person before.
Is it from the transporter bug on his heart that is sending signals about the Silver Samurai?
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of stuff in here. Like, the overall theme and the character like growth and grounding of Logan in this film is really solid, but it's just wrapped in this weird as fuck plot that makes no sense.
Yeah.
And that's what drags this film down for me. It's just It's so long and it just, a lot of it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no, I agree. Oh, we get Logan tracking down the Minister for Justice.
Yeah, after Mariko gets kidnapped again.
Again. And this guy's a piece of shit. I did like the, you have 10 words though. I thought that was a nice little, like, yeah, it's a bit corny and stuff, but I like
whatever.
It. What I didn't like, which was super corny, was when he throws him out the window, right? He falls in the swimming pool, which that would be a fucking deep pool for him not to hit the floor. I can tell you right now. But the redhead's like, oh, how did you know there was a pool there? I didn't.
Did you know that's a quote from Diamonds Are Forever? An old James Bond film.
See, that's where it fits. It fits in a campy, old school, you know, spy movie. It doesn't fit in this super serious, grounded, you know, Logan movie.
Much like the cleaning in the tub as well. There's small little scenes of comic relief, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, but legit. Diamonds Are Forever. Same thing. Throws him out of a hotel, lands in the pool. Exact same quote.
I did really like the ninjas running amok at the house.
Yes, we've got some Japanese samurais in this film. We get some ninja work, finally.
Yeah.
Really good.
This was really strong.
But what do you think about Viper poisoning Shinjin and then you think he's dead, but then he comes back? Like, why didn't that kill him?
Yep. Like, the same thing when she stabs Mariko in the neck with a long fingernail, and I thought, oh, fuck, she's just killed her. Oh, no, she's just made her go to sleep for, like, 20 minutes.
Yeah. Wildly inconsistent powers, Viper.
It is. No, it really is.
Like, even when she's having her interrogation, she's having a conversation with Agent Hawkeye in the alley, and she, like, cuts him, blows the something on him to, like, make him convulse, and then blows on him again, and it's gone.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
She needs to work on her blowing abilities.
Yeah. Blowing skills, 0%.
This is where Logan cuts himself open. I thought that was pretty cool, to be honest. Trying to shove his hand under his rib cage.
Yeah, that was good. Even with the fight going on around him with Shinjin and Yukio.
Yeah. No, I like that fight. All the Shinjin scenes are great.
Yeah.
Great actor.
But Logan dies.
What a surprise. He gets healed. He wakes up.
Yeah.
Then he fights Shinjin. And that's a really good fight.
That is a good fight.
Yeah. He's really solid.
I forgot how Shinjin dies. I thought he was going to seppuku himself after he realizes the disgrace of trying to kill his daughter when Logan basically just like walks away from him. But no, can't help himself. Goes back to Logan. Boom. He's dead.
Yeah.
And that's when he calls himself the Wolverine, which is good.
You like that?
It was good.
Okay.
Did you like it?
I mean, it was like...
What do you think he was going to... Who are you? Logan. The movie's called The Wolverine.
I mean, who are you? Sort of a question set.
What do you think of the fight out the front in the snow with all the different samurais shooting the arrows into him? You get Yukio getting in the snow sled and just like carving up a bunch of people. You see the blood like spray all across the top of the house. That was okay. I didn't mind that.
I'm not sure he would have been able to withstand all those arrows.
He's the Wolverine, mate.
Yeah, but he's not.
He's completely healed.
He is completely healed. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, that's fine.
Because Agent Hawkeye's all tough.
I mean, wouldn't he turn around and slash the ropes and stuff?
No, he's got to show how much of a boss he is.
I know. A lot of this is just like, oh, yes, we forgot how tough the Wolverine was.
I half expected him to just like lean forward and they all just fall off the roof as they go with the arrows and the rope. But he gets captured from this.
Yep.
And it's all a ploy to get his claws out, which works because Wolverine gets a bit angry sometimes. And then you get this silver samurai. Carves off the claws.
Yeah, I mean, this villain, obviously the big fighting villain, but...
You have no idea it's a person. It's just like some sort of machine.
Yeah, it looks like a robot.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like... Ultimately, I did not like this final conclusion. I thought the piss-weak fight between Viper and Yukio was...
Don't you love how whenever there's a female villain, they have to fight a female hero?
Yes.
Happens in every movie.
Of course.
Except for X2, actually.
Except for Kill Bill.
Okay, maybe not every movie, but very often when there's a female villain and a female hero, they will square off in some bitch fight, cat fight.
Either one's good for me to watch.
You know what we do need, though? We need some more Viper scenes.
No.
Like, how good is it? How good would it be if she shed her skin?
I mean, what did that do?
For no reason.
Like, I don't understand what purpose that was for.
Absolutely nothing.
She didn't, like, get musclier or have
I thought
have
she would
powers.
Turn into, like, Reptile in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, and, like, bite people's heads off.
Yeah, like, turn into a snake lady or something. Do something.
That would have been awesome. She peels her skin, you hear this, Viper. Like, but her death is stupid. It's quick. Quick is good, but it's just nothing. Like, what's the point?
Yeah, all characters ridiculous.
Agent Hawkeye has a change of mind, change of heart, and sacrifices himself.
But he was, for the most of the movie, he was a good guy. And then all of a sudden, it's like... Oh, is he a bad guy?
I couldn't
tell. We're still not sure. Yeah. And then he's definitely a good guy at the end. Okay.
Don't whatever. Care. And then there's this reveal. Oh, it's a shitter. Oh, you know, what a twist.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah, it is terrible. What do you think of the claws actually being cut off, though? Can I ask, are they ever explained how they get back on?
No, because he ends up with his bone claws again.
Which, does that make sense?
Because he's still filled with adamantium. Did you see the mid-credit scene?
Yeah.
Magneto still has the power to control it.
No. So the adamantium replaces his bone, okay? Yeah. Or it lines his bones.
Lines his bone.
Okay. So if you cut off the bone...
The bone heals.
The bone just grows back, okay?
Yeah.
Which is why he's got bone claws at the end of this movie. Where does he get the adamantium back on them?
Maybe in Logan. I can't remember.
It can't be Logan because he has them in Days of Future Past.
Does he have them in that future?
He does because I remember when he goes back in time, he has the bone claws. Wait, and it's a
listen.
Big deal.
Okay, listen to this. He goes back in time, yes, before he has, when he has the bone claws. And then because that future's wiped because of the effects of Days of Future Past.
It's reset the whole thing.
Yeah, but in the future of Days of Future Past, does he have the claws or do we never see that?
I don't know. I'd have to rewatch it. I feel like
if only there was going to be an opportunity to rewatch that.
Is that the next one we're doing?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
I think that might be the case. I think
we'll see.
Yeah. And from now on, in this present timeline, he doesn't have his adamantium claws
again. I would
again.
Be very impressed if we, A, don't see his claws in the future of Days of Future Past.
I don't think we do.
Or B, even more impressed if we see bone claws in the future. I can't imagine we see that.
We won't see the bone claws in the future because I remember in Days of Future Past when he wakes up.
Yeah,
from that,
I remember that
too. And he pulls out the bone claws. Like, that's the reveal.
Yep.
So whether or not he has adamantium in that future, we'll wait and see. Let's talk about the rest of this film. And we're done.
You asked me to come to you and say goodbye. Sayonara.
No.
Stop it.
Yeah, that was just not good. That was not good.
Stop it.
What do you think of the actual ending?
Fuck off, Famke Janssen. Does she have another scene at the end?
Yeah, she does.
Every time she appears, it's fuck off, Famke Janssen.
But the actual ending where they're sitting in the plane and then they're just deciding they're just going to go up.
Oh, and why is the redhead with him?
I don't know.
This goes
and
nowhere.
What happens with her? She's not even in the next film.
No. That was odd. The end was bad.
I'm very thankful that they did have that mid-credit sequence.
I'd forgotten about this. I was just quickly going through the end to see if there was any credits. Mm. I'm really glad I did.
I finished the movie and I got it from the cash. Like, right, we're done. I'll go to the toilet.
Yeah.
And I heard noise. Holy shit, mid-credit sequence, of course.
Yeah.
And it was really good.
It's great seeing Charles and have him actually react like, hang on, you're fucking dead, cunt. Yeah. Like, seriously.
Quote.
It's good seeing. It's good the way they did it. He like freezes the metal and he's like, oh my God, Magneto's here. And everyone stops and holy shit, Charles Xavier's here.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good
Gives thing. That nice little setup for Days of Future Past with the Trask Corporation as well on the TV.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Because I'm pretty sure they filmed that during Days of Future Past.
Okay.
So fit it right into the end. And it really sets it up for the next film, which we'll be talking about. But let's finish this one off, Dean. My final thoughts. This was a lot better than what I initially thought. I haven't seen this film in a very long time. Went to log it on Letterboxd. Gave it 1.5.
So rough.
And I was like, okay. And I for the life of me, I don't know why I would have given it 1.5. I mean, it's not
a 1.5.
No, it is not. That being said, I still wouldn't recommend this. I give it 2.5. I feel like the issues that we have with the wildly sporadic storyline, weird little inconsistent plot points, it's too long. It definitely outweighs the good in this film with the, you know, the like not extreme violence, but some good violence in there, good character growth and a performance by Hugh Jackman as well. I think he's very good as the Wolverine in this film compared to some of the other ones. He's actually given a lot more to do in this film. It's just, it gets bogged down by all this weird little shit that happens in the middle. So for me, it's 2.5.
Okay. Yeah, I tend to agree with a lot of what you said. My biggest issue, definitely the runtime. Maybe that's just a byproduct of seeing the extended version, but I can only go off what I'm saying, and it was so long. There's so many scenes in there that are unnecessary, that the tone does shift around a little too much for my liking. Having said that, I love the Japanese setting. I really, really do. The ninjas, the samurai, the gorgeous little houses they have, the paper doors, all that shit's great. I'm all over that. Hugh Jackman was really, really strong in this. Was it great? No, it wasn't, but I'm going to give it a 3-star rating anyway.
Fair enough. So that's going to do it. Thank you very much, patrons. We'll be back next week for X-Men Days of Future Past.